pizza over on Bay Street.
Where?
Bay and just south of University.
A little boxing gym?
He's going to have basketball court and some weights and stuff. I don't know if they're going to do boxing there or not. Anyways, so they're just getting it started. So 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., it's going to be a gym. You know, the Lord will be there apparently doing push-ups, the cross on his back. And then from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m., homeless people can kind of come in and sleep. They're going to move all the gym equipment out every night and move in some cots. And homeless people can sleep there and stay warm at night. So it's pretty awesome. And they just need people to help get things ready to clean up, to paint, all that stuff. So might be a good opportunity for us to get involved. Maybe not. We'll see. Anyways, kind of going along those lines, I want to read you this passage. This is out of Matthew. This is Jesus talking, and he's talking about, you know, when we all die and it's time to come to judgment, and here's kind of the conversation that we'll have. But in Matthew 25, verse 31, it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on the throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left." Now check it out. This is how he determines who goes where. Verse 34, "The king will say to those on his right, the sheep, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, you looked after me. And I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did you did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?' The king will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did to one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" And it turns out the goats didn't do those things, and so it was not good for them. So, in talking about this and getting involved in helping to feed the hungry and, you know, provide a home for homeless and, you know, we talked about doing a clothing drive, putting clothes on people who don't have clothes. I kind of wanted to invite Christy here today. So she's going to just tell you a story of something that she did. Last weekend, right? Man, that's crazy. It was only last weekend. It's an insane story, and she's going to tell us about it today, but it has to do kind of with this whole direction that we've been going lately. So, without much further ado, this is Christy. She's an alumnus of this. This could be you someday, coming back after you graduate.
I thought you were saying that I could be you someday, and I was very
She could be me someday. And that would be insane. Actually, here, take this too.
Here. Stick it up your nose.
No, not really. No!
Wow. He still hasn't realized that these things don't bother me. But, I don't really know what to do with this. Yeah, last time they recorded me, it was on mute the whole time. So we're going to see if I can do that again, but... So, Jordan basically asked me to come here after last week. We sat here for, like, probably half an hour after, like, while second service was supposed to be going on. it was going on. Second service doesn't wait for me as much as I'd like to think it does. I had just gotten back from this simulation that I had done, which is what I'm going to tell you about. And came up here Sunday, and then you guys were talking about poverty and this 30-hour famine thing, and I was pretty stoked on the fact that you guys were doing it. And so I'm really excited for you guys to do that. So you should get as involved as you can, because it'll be rad. And but we were talking about the whole experience that I had, and Jordan was like, "Hey, come tell them that." It kind of falls in line. And I was like, okay. So basically... I'm involved with a Christian on-campus organization at Santa Cruz called InterVarsity, and they are sort of involved with this community service organization in San Jose called Sacred Heart Community Service. And because we're kind of like buddies with them, Sacred Heart has started doing what they're calling homeless simulations, where people can come and they're doing like programs where you can come and be homeless for a day and kind of experience what that's like as much as it's possible to replicate. And so they've started doing this with Santa Cruz. So there's one group probably a month or two ago that went, and there were like 6 to 9 of them, and then there was us last weekend on Friday. There were 12 of us. So I'd known ahead of time that was going to happen, and my Bible study leader asked me if I wanted to participate, and I was kind of like, no, like, I don't know, that's kind of scary. Like, I don't know how safe that is. Like, we're going to go be homeless on the streets. And then I kind of thought about it, and I was like, I guess that's sort of the point, is like, being homeless isn't safe. And then I started thinking about it, and I was like, maybe I've never really thought about, like, being homeless. And then I was like, maybe that's a good enough reason that I should probably go on this and take some time to actually, like, experience it and think about it. And so from then on, I decided I was going, even though I had no idea what I was getting into. And still had no idea what I was getting into when I got in a car at, like, some unearthly hour of the morning on Friday to drive over the 17 to get to Sacred Heart in San Jose. And we got there at like 7, which means we left at like, I don't know. And we kind of went upstairs, and they sat us down at a table, and first thing they had us do was there were a bunch of clothes from their shelter. They have, like, a clothes closet for people to come in. And they were like, you guys can choose whatever you want out of these piles. They're all from our shelter, and you have 5 minutes. Go. And so we all changed out of our clothes and changed into homeless shelter clothes. And I looked surprisingly normal. I guess I spent too much time in thrift stores. But then we all sat down, and we had kind of had predetermined groups that we were in, groups of three. So I was with my friend Coral, my friend Jason, and the three of us were going to be together the rest of the day and separated from everybody else. And so they basically gave us an itinerary for each group. So my group had itinerary B, and everyone else had slightly different things that they had to do. And that paper gave a pretty decent description of the first thing we were supposed to do. And then it just had a bunch of tasks, and it said, complete these before 6 o'clock and make it back here. And we were like, okay. And I still had no idea what I was doing, because they really didn't give us a whole lot of information. And the first thing we were supposed to do was go downstairs to, like, the actual service part of Sacred Heart. And we all got in line, acted like we didn't know each other, staggered ourselves in the line, and waited for Sacred Heart to open at 9 o'clock. And maybe it was 8 o'clock. Maybe it was 9 o'clock. I don't remember. And so we had to wait in line for it to open. And then we got in there, and they had really given us no information about what we were supposed to do when we first walked in, because if we had, like, somehow gotten kicked out on the streets, nobody would have told us, like, how we were supposed to get help. And so we just knew that we were supposed to get in there, and one of our members was supposed to get food, one of our members was supposed to go to the clothing closet, and one of our members had a housing appointment. And so I was on food duty, and we basically walked in there, and we knew we had to, like, do something before we could get food, because everyone kind of looked like they know what they were doing. And so walked up to a desk and was like, I'm looking for food, what do I do? And they were like, well, you have to fill out this intake. And so I filled out this intake, and we were using all of our real information except for our, like, no income, homeless, et cetera, et cetera. And then you had to wait in a line to be seen for the intake. And they like registered you in the computer and gave me my very own continuum of care card, which basically allows me to get food and clothes twice a month from their shelter. And then got in line with my card and gave my card to someone who gave me a sheet of paper, and then got in another line with my sheet of paper, and then they took my paper, and then got in another line for food, and then they were like, "So, do you cook?" And I was like, "Nope, because I live on the streets, so I don't have any way of cooking." And they gave me a non-cooking grocery bag for a single adult for half a month, which was a pretty decent amount of food. And we had our sleeping bags that we were required to carry around, and we had that that we were required to carry around. We weren't allowed to eat any of the food. So walked out and got met up with Jason, who had been in the clothing closet, who had walked in and gotten some warmer clothes for us. And then waited out on the street corner where we had said we would meet Coral, who had been in the housing appointment. And so Jason and I were kind of just overwhelmed. We were talking about how it had been, and we're just kind of like, there were a lot of things going on in that room, and we didn't really know what we were doing. And then Coral came out and met us, and she seemed very shell-shocked because she had just, like, been in this housing appointment with papers that they had given her that were expired and, like, with stuff she didn't know the answers to. Like, she was posing as someone else that she didn't know, and et cetera, et cetera. So she was kind of overwhelmed by that. And so we sat there for a couple minutes, and then we were like, all right, we have all these tasks. We had all these tasks that we had to complete. And there were things like get a courtesy ride from a bus driver, come back with $10 from a seated position, ask for money verbally, from a seated position, verbally ask for food with a sign, obtain food, find something useful from a dumpster, make a budget, like a hypothetical budget for a single mom with two preschool kids, find three apartments for rent and all the information that you needed to rent them and incorporate one of them into that budget. Interview a homeless person outside the library, make up your own questions, collect 100 bottles, go to Salvation Army for lunch, and secure a bed at a homeless shelter, and then leave before 5:30 because we weren't actually going to stay there. We just wanted the experience of waiting in line and whatnot. I have a feeling there were a couple other things that I can't think of right now. But basically, there were a lot of tasks that we were supposed to complete before 6 o'clock. And kind of had no idea what we were doing. And didn't really even know where we were supposed to go to do all this. Didn't know where the library was. Didn't know where the Salvation Army was. Didn't know where the shelter was. It was kind of, we were just on our own. And so we walked across the street, decided that we were going to try and make it downtown, because that was where we were going to find most of the things we needed. And we decided that we were going to go step one and find our courtesy ride to get to downtown. So waited at the bus stop, waited for everyone else to get on, then asked the bus driver. We were like, we don't have any money. We didn't really know what we were supposed to be saying. And he was like, oh, yeah, sure, come on. And we were like, oh, okay. And walked on, had all our stuff. And the guy, like, jokingly asked me if, like, I had, if they'd given me anything good at the shelter today. And so he was very, like, welcoming. And that was kind of surprising to me. And I was kind of like, oh, I wonder if everybody gets treated like that, or if it's just because, like, we look really young, or whatever the reason. And sat on the back of the bus and got some good looks from people, and had one guy start talking to us, and he was very concerned about, like, the fact that we were really young and wanted to help with whatever he could. Started giving us directions to places where we could get lunch, which was actually the place we needed to go, which was Salvation Army. And so that was pretty nice and very much a godsend, because we would have just been wandering. So this guy was pretty cool, and we got off the bus and decided we were going to try and get our interview at the library done before lunch. And did a lot of walking back and forth because we had no idea where we were going. Walk one direction, walk the other direction. It was back where we had walked before. Bags started ripping, had no grocery carts. Kind of like, what are we doing? And then eventually got new bags from some grocery store. Started walking towards the library, and there were no homeless people outside, so we were like, okay, what do we do now? And the same guy from the bus walked up, and we were like, oh, hey, and turns out his name was Alfonso, and he was really cool. And he started talking to us, saying, like, that he had been eating out of the dumps for a while, and that was probably why he was sympathetic towards us. And he actually gave us, like, $3 without us asking. We didn't say anything, and so we were like, oh, sweet. Like, this may not be as ridiculous as we thought to, like, get $10. And at the same time, felt really bad because we knew that we didn't really need it, and there were other people that would need it more. And I could also very much tell that he was, like, actually upset by it, and is probably going to follow him, like, throughout the day, that he had talked to three kids that looked really, really young. So, but he was really cool and, again, directed us towards the Salvation Army and actually told us that we should go now because we would have to wait in line for lunch. And so we were like, all right, cool, thanks, bye, and started walking and walked for a long time and realized how tiring it was to do absolutely nothing because we had not accomplished anything. We had an entire list of things to accomplish and we were already like ridiculously tired because we've been walking everywhere and we were carrying ridiculous amounts of things. And so we were walking for a really long time and they basically were just like, keep walking straight past the train tracks. And we were like, okay, where are the train tracks? And walked for a really long time and eventually saw the red shield of the Salvation Army trucks. And we were like, sweet. Made it, and walked inside and didn't really know what we were supposed to be doing, and saw a room that said dining hall. There was stuff going on, so we opened the door, and some senior lady, who seemed very, very distracted by her bingo game, informed us that we were in the wrong place, and to go to, like, social services or whatever. So we're like, okay, and we left and went to social services, and they basically told us we were in the wrong, like, Salvation Army. And so we had to walk outside across the train tracks and got to the real Salvation Army. And the other one was also a Salvation Army, but it was not directed towards homeless people. I don't really know what it was doing. And so that was far more our type of people. There were a lot of people waiting outside. And we walked in, kind of asked the guy, like, are you guys serving lunch? And he was like, yeah. At 12:30, and it was like 11:45 or something. So we had to wait a while to wait, and we decided we were going to try and, like, sit down and do our budget while we had some time. But then it was kind of weird because we were in the middle of a bunch of homeless people, and we were about to, like, start writing out a budget, and it just didn't make a lot of sense with the character we were trying to play. So we started talking to this guy, this Vietnamese guy named Fong, and he was pretty cool, and probably in mid-20s-ish, and started talking to us just about, like, what we were doing, if we needed help, and actually gave us directions to the shelter that we needed to get to. Again, random godsend that we hadn't asked or told him that we needed to get to the specific place, and they gave us directions. So he started writing stuff down for us, and then just started talking to us about, like, his life and our lives, and asked us what we were doing. We told him we had, like, recently been on the streets, that we were new to San Jose. We'd been in Santa Cruz before. And he was really, really willing to help us, like, figure out what the resources were in San Jose. And started talking to us just about, like, how he'd been in Oakland before, was telling us not to go to Oakland, telling us not to get into drugs because, like, he had been in drugs and, like, was trying to stay clean and make good money in other ways. And so he was really cool, and hung out with him for a while we were waiting in line. eventually decided to get in the line part of the waiting in line. And the guy behind us was someone we started talking to, a lot older guy, skinny, had very much been on the streets for a while, you can tell. And he started talking to us. He started talking to my friend Jason, so I don't really know how the conversation started. But we ended up talking to him and asking him about, like, other resources we could be getting to. Someone else in line handed us some sheet of paper that had, like, every resource in San Jose. So people were, like, really willing to help us. And I don't really know. I have a feeling that that was just because, like, we were young, because I didn't really see everyone getting the same reactions, you know. And it was kind of sobering to realize that, like, we were the only people that everyone was, like, so willing to help. And but this guy in line, his name was Daniel, was really sweet and started telling us that, like, at Salvation Army, children, women, and couples eat first, so we should move up to the front of the line. And we were like, ah, we're chill. Like, we'll just wait. Everyone will get fed eventually. And started talking to him a little bit about the shelter we were trying to get to. And Jason was trying to figure out if we were getting special treatment or not. And so he asked him, like, what if we don't have money for the bus? And he was like, yeah, you probably, like, won't do so well. And so we were kind of like, oh, that's interesting, because we were, like, welcomed on very easily. And then when he was, like, actually introducing himself, because we'd kind of been talking to him for a while before he really introduced himself, when he shook Jason's hand, he handed him, like, $3, or $2. This is, like, a homeless guy at the shelter with us who handed us $3 to try and get on the bus. So we're at $5. Hadn't asked anybody. And then he was like, here, follow me, and made us follow him to the front of the line to make sure that we got in first when they started inviting couples and children in. So we were in there on the first wave, and he was not at all. And it's basically like you sit down at big circular tables, and they hand you a plate that's already served, and whatever is on the plate is what you eat. There are a couple different dishes. Not too different from dorm food, but not excellent. But food, and we were definitely hungry at that point, very hungry. And didn't really talk to too many people because we were just focused on eating. And it was the kind of thing where as soon as people were done, they called in more to fill their seats until I assume food was gone. So we finished up there and headed out. And started walking back towards the main part of town, trying to find a cart and trying to find any of the things that we needed to do. So we decided to go back to the library and try there. Didn't find anybody homeless, but we decided we were going to go inside and try to use the computers to find the houses for rent and the budget. And again, we were, like, really tired at this point, and all we had done was, like, eat. So it was kind of ridiculous. And then got into the library, got a lot of weird looks because the library is a really nice place and there are a lot of students there, and had to ask for a, like, guest card to get online, and got that, went upstairs, sat down, started trying to work things out, and Coral and Jason were both, like, falling asleep, and I was just trying to, like, get stuff done. And eventually, it was, like, really difficult to do that, and it was kind of very sobering to see that, like, if you were working a minimum wage job full time, you still, like, there was no way you were going to make it, like, at all, being a single mother with two kids. And, I mean, we were just sitting there trying to, like, cheat the system or whatever, finding really cheap apartments, like, one-bedroom apartments for a family of three, and, like, still, there was, like, no way, especially if you wanted your kids in preschool. Like, it was just kind of ridiculous to see that there's no possible way of doing that. So we kind of gave up on that, did what we could, and figured that was good enough, and headed out to try and find, we'd found some cardboard on the way. We were going to make our sign and try and panhandle. and had to go in the library again and ask for markers, which was really awkward because we had to go in, like, the children's center, like, the children's room to get markers from them, and then, like, sat down in the, like, children's book room to, like, make our We're Hungry Feed Us sign, and so that was, like, really awkward, and made a sign that said, like, hungry, broke, anything is appreciated, and put it in our bags and started walking to try to find a shopping cart because we were really tired of carrying all of our stuff around. So we decided we were going to try and find a Safeway because we figured that they would have carts and that would be a good place to panhandle. Had no idea where a Safeway was, just kind of started walking based on Jason's directions, which were not worthwhile. ended up far from downtown, not far, but decently far from downtown, and sat down at some point and we were like, we have no idea where we're going. We're just going to ask people, like, where the closest Safeway is. The first guy that walked by, I don't know if he, like, didn't speak English, but Jason tried to ask him, like, hey, do you know where a Safeway is? Or, yeah, he said, hey, do you know where a Safeway is? And the guy just, like, looked at us and was like, and, like, walked by. And we were like, oh, okay, we weren't even asking you for money, like, later. And so that was our first, like, completely ignored by society experience. Well, not first, but, you know. And most obvious. And then found someone else who seemed, she was like, oh, Safeway? Gave us a cross street and was like, you know where the college is, right? And we were like, yeah, that way. So we were a little cautious about following her instruction, her directions, because she didn't really seem where she knew, like, she knew where she was going. But because she had a cross street, we decided to go find it. Walked that way, found some supermarket that wasn't a Safeway at all and not where she said it was on our way. Got a cart, and that was, like, our big triumph of the day because it was really, really long and tiring to be carrying around half a month's worth of groceries and three sleeping bags. So got everything in our cart, and at that point we had restored energy. We were like, sweet, we're on a roll now. And literally, sorry. So from there, we decided we were going to try and mark some more things off our lists and do some panhandling. So we had our cart, and we had our sign, and we were trying to find a place to sit down. Walked around, decided to go to, like, the heart of downtown, kind of, and every time we were like, oh, this is a good place, one of us was like, oh, why don't we go up there? And eventually we were like, we're just procrastinating this. Like, Jason was like, this is just out of my comfort zone, and, like, I don't want to, like, sit down and ask people for money. And so we decided we were just going to, like, force ourselves to do it and sit down. Found a decent area to sit, parked our cart, and sat on the sidewalk with our sign and started asking people as they were walking by. That was definitely, like, an eye-opening experience, just being on the other end of it than I normally am. And we knew that we were, like, being received better than most homeless people just because we were young and, like, there's something about us that is clearly different from, like, someone who's been on the streets all their life. Like, we are clearly new to the streets. We, like, there's just very much, we couldn't fully replicate being homeless, you know? There was no way. And we had a lot of people walk by, and Jason started talking to people, asking them for money, and when they completely ignored him, just kind of kept on talking to him, because he just, like, found it funny that people would straight up not even look at you and, like, pretend they didn't hear you and walk straight past you. And then, like, you kind of realize that, like, we do that pretty often. And I realized that I did not care at all if somebody had money for me. I just wanted them to acknowledge my existence. Like, I didn't even care if they, like, stopped to talk to me. I just wanted them to, like, look me in the eye and say, like, I'm sorry, I don't have anything. Or, like, I don't know, like, anything. Just acknowledge my existence. Don't, like, walk straight past me and pretend you didn't hear me. Because that was just, like, really weird. because I think I'm the kind of person where when I'm walking down the street, if I don't have anything in my pocket, I hate, like, saying no. And so I just kind of walk, and I'm like, eh. But I definitely changed my mind knowing that, like, just saying hi is far more appreciated. So it was pretty interesting to see people's reactions. Got a lot of, like, we're like, what does that mean? Like, I was like, okay, see ya. Like, I didn't understand if that was like, sorry, I don't have anything, or like, you're not worth my time. Like, I don't know. It was weird. And it was very, very clear that the people who were stopping to talk to us were, like, not upper middle class people. They were very much, there was very, very much an ethnicity difference in who was talking to us and who wasn't. And just, like, a class difference, which was really interesting because we got, like, a clearly homeless guy who had been on the streets, like, all his life, who stopped and emptied out his pockets of his change for us. And we were like, you're homeless. Like, you don't have any money. Why are you giving us money when, like, the people with Lexus and Porsches and, like, they're walking straight past us. They're the ones who, like, have the extra money. And so it was, like, kind of sobering to realize, like, how clear that difference was. Because I didn't really expect that. And kind of changed my viewpoint a little. So we actually didn't have to wait too long before getting our $10 that we needed to go back to the Sacred Heart campus, because we were young, and so people were a lot more willing to give us a couple dollars, and they were often very clear to state that when they were handing us money. They would say, like, yeah, you guys are so young, like, here, and we were like, okay, and thank you, and that was, like, the most common thing said to us, and so very clear their reasoning for giving us money, and very clear that they were not giving money to everyone on the streets. So then from there, we were trying to figure out what we were going to do because we had a lot of things left on our list that we knew we weren't going to be able to accomplish before 6. And we had kind of a long way to go back to Sacred Heart because we'd bust there and really didn't want to give up our cart. And so we started sitting around figuring out, like, are we going to interview someone homeless? Are we going to pick up the 100 bottles? Are we going to go to the homeless shelter and try and get a bed and then leave? There might have been a couple other things, but we were trying to figure out, like, what we were going to do. And we were joking, being like, well, I really want to pick up 100 bottles. Like, that sounds awesome. We have, like, an hour. And but then eventually we realized that that was probably the best option because we decided we were going to, like, walk around, start picking up bottles, and if we saw someone homeless, interview them. And we didn't really, so we didn't do that. But our other option was, like, going to the homeless shelter, which was, we were going to definitely have to bus. We were going to have to, like, lose our cart. And we knew that we were just going to walk in there, wait in line, maybe get a bed, and then be like, oh, just kidding, we're not staying, because we had other agendas for the night. So, we decided to not do that and just started. We decided that we were going to walk back to Sacred Heart rather than busing, and on the way pick up as many bottles as we could. So we started doing that and got, like, ended up getting, like, 3 bags full of bottles. Definitely not 100 of them, but a start. And walked all the way back. And while we were, like, in the back looking at some dumpster in some, like, alley kind of, street-ish alley, not, like, super creepy alley, but street-ish alley. Some guy came out of what looked like this empty lot with, like, 2 sheets of plywood up, like, blocking it from main view and stuff. And he was this, like, kind of older guy, walked out and was like, hey, like, where, what do you guys have, like, a place to stay? Are you homeless? And we were like, we're like, we're on the streets, and we couldn't fully understand him, and he was like, oh, like, this is my lot, like, you can stay here if you want, and we were like, no, like, we're okay, we're actually headed to, the Boys and Girls Shelter, and he was like, that's too far, like, you should just stay here, and we were like, no, like, there's something really creepy about him, and not okay, and, like, Jason was really, really creeped out by it, just because he was, like, the one guy with us two girls, Coral and I, and, so we were just like, no, like, we're cool, and, like, kept walking, and he was like, no, like, this is my lot, you can come stay here, and we were just like, okay, bye, and left, and Jason, like, three blocks later was still, like, clearly peeved by it, and, like, that was creepy, and he was like, that kind of, because we had, like, really good experiences, we were well-received by the homeless, and, like, better treated than most on the streets, and then, like, that happened, and we were like, something is very not right with that, and, like, a couple weeks before that, we'd just been at this talk about, like, sex trafficking and stuff like that, and we were talking about, like, how a lot of times people will, like, older guys will find, like, newly runaway kids and get them while they're still not street smart and, like, somehow convince them to, like, come with them and end up, like, pimping them out. And it was, like, pretty scary knowing that and then having that, like, kind of weird experience. And, again, knowing that we were clearly not, like, the street smart homeless kids, you know, and just kind of imagining, like, how that situation could have gone differently if we, like, didn't have an agenda and didn't, like, have a guy with us and et cetera, et cetera. So Jason was, like, really bothered by it and was like, that kind of ruined, like, my people experience of this trip. And I was like, well, maybe it's, like, good to have it ruined. Like, being homeless probably isn't this easy for most people. Not that it was an easy experience, but so we continued walking and had no idea what time it was. We were kind of getting closer to Sacred Heart and we were supposed to be back there by 6. Didn't really know if we were a little too early, a little too late, whatever. So I went into a Mountain Mike's to ask the time, and that was a really awkward experience because I was like inside a restaurant, which was like really out of place. And I never knew I could feel that out of place in a Mountain Mike's. But just asked them for the time. Found out we had a little time to kill, so we sat down on the sidewalk and just kind of started talking, the three of us, and like laid down. And the sidewalk was very comfortable, and I probably could have fallen asleep there. I was very sore from carrying lots of things for a long time. And so we just kind of like took a break there and sat down and talked about random things, and that was nice. And then headed back to Sacred Heart. By that time it was getting dark, and it was like 6 o'clock. And as soon as we got in, they were like, all right, come like write a note on Facebook. And we're like trying to advertise ourselves, our organization on Facebook. So can you guys like write a note about your experience and then link to Sacred Heart's page? And we were like, okay. And we were kind of all like still shell-shocked and like, it was the first time any of us had, like, seen each other because it had just been the three of us. And there were, like, 12 of us all together. And so we were all just kind of like, we're writing a Facebook note. And we haven't even, like, had time to process what just happened. So my Facebook note was, like, really, really long and detailed. I had no idea how long it was, and I'm sure some of you read it. And I'm sorry if you had to read it and then listen to me say this all again. Yeah. And then we all sat down together and started processing and, like, talking about our experiences and stuff. And everybody had, like, really interesting things to say. We all were talking about, like, just different reactions we'd gotten from people and, like, talking about how we knew that, like, we could not really simulate homelessness. because of the fact that, like, we are educated people, we carry ourselves differently. Like, we clearly don't look like we've been on the streets as much as we tried to, like, not shower beforehand and, like, rub dirt all over ourselves. And, like, we could not simulate the hopelessness of knowing that, like, you didn't have a place to go home to the next day. And that was, like, something very different. I think that if I had stayed for, like, a week, I would start to have understood that. But there was no way that I could, like, not in my head think that, like, within a day I have a shower and within a day I have a bed. And, like, that was just something I was doing, and then I was going to go back to my life. That was something that, like, would have been very, very tiring just to know, and to know that you had no place, like, to go, like, recollect yourself or anything. So we were all kind of agreeing about that, that, like, we had been really, really tired, and, like, it would have been crazy worse if we actually were homeless. And just kind of talking about things that we hadn't really realized, and I mean, for all of us, it was like there was nothing that we were like, oh my gosh, I had no idea homeless people had to do this. But experiencing it was very different than knowing it, and definitely gave, like, a different perspective for me, for all of us. And then this kid Noe came and hung out with us. He'd been homeless for a while and just recently got himself off the streets. He was like 23 and had lived a lot more life than I have lived and probably than I want to live. He was just kind of, like, brushing over things and was talking about how, like, while he was on the streets, he's, like, been in gangs, been in drugs, been drug dealing, been stealing from people, been, like, stabbed someone. Like, we're all like, okay, like, how do you even comprehend, like, someone that has that much going on in their life by 23? And he was there because there's this bus called Motel 22. It's the only bus that runs all night, and so a lot of homeless people, if they don't want to be outside, will pay for the 22 and take that all night. And it basically goes up to Menlo Park from San Jose, and then you have to get off and wait for it to come down, come back up. It's like an hour wait, and then do the same thing, like, two or three more times. And it's like $10 to do that. So that's, like, the luxury, is being able to sleep on the bus that you have to wait outside for an hour each night. And so Noe was going to take as many of us as wanted to go sleep on the 22. And the other, like, head of Sacred Heart that we were working with, Todd, was going to take the rest of us to go sleep under an overpass. And so I went with the overpass group. And we all walked together for a while till we, like, left them at the bus stop and kept walking. And so we kind of got to talk with Noe a little bit while we were walking. And so we walked for a really long time, eventually got to the overpass that we were going to go sleep at. And it was, like, a big empty lot with the freeway, like, 30 feet overhead. It wasn't, like, a street with, you know, that kind of overpass. And we got up there, talked to one of the guys for a little bit that was also sleeping there. And how much time do I have?
You need to go, you can go.
Is it, like, nearing the end? Past the end? Yeah, I knew I was going to do this. I knew I was going to do this. But, so, spent the night there. Todd kind of told us about when he had been on the streets for a little bit. And I passed out really fast. So that experience was a lot less scary for me than it was for other people who actually stayed awake. Because apparently while we were asleep, there was, like, some drunk homeless guy who, like, ran over to one of the girls, like, not sleeping with us, not with our group, but some woman who was sleeping under the overpass, and, like, harassed her and was like, give us all your money. And we were, like, kind of worried that he was going to come around to, like, all the different groups under the overpass, and that would have been bad. And apparently, like, they knew each other, and he was, like, harassing her to, like, try and get her to have sex with him, and apparently this went on for, like, a good hour or so. But I was very asleep through all this, so it was a lot less of a frightening experience for me. And we woke up at, like, 5:30 or 6 with the sun, and that was when it kind of hit me where, like, the tiredness of homelessness is, because I was not in it in the morning, and I'm not normally that much of an anti-morning person, but it was, like, very hard to, like, face the day and, like, carry my sleeping bag and walk another, like, 2 miles back to the shelter. So I was, like, when I was, like, wow, homelessness sucks. Because, like, before that, we hadn't had that horrible of an experience, but, like, that morning was when it kind of caught up to me, and I was like, this is not fun. And then we got back, walked to the homeless shelter, did another debrief about how the bus was. Apparently it's not fun, and the lights turn on every time you stop, and so sleeping is very difficult, and whenever you get to the end of the line, they start screaming, get off the bus, get off the bus, make sure that people who are sleeping get off, and just did not sound like a fun experience for them. And we told them about our, like, random drunk homeless guy harassing, and wasn't really a delightful experience on either part. So from there, people headed back to Santa Cruz, I headed back here, and that was kind of the end of that. So as a wrap up, I'm pretty excited that you guys are doing this poverty thing. You guys are going to get, like, a little taste of my little taste, because it wasn't really homelessness. And so I'm pretty stoked that you guys are doing this. And there's a lot to be learned from homeless people and from, you know, the experiences, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.